This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Joy.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Wominjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Yes, hello, you're on Urban Dreaming, and this is Sarami on the mic.
And Gracie.
And we've got a special co-host this evening, this is Layla.
Hello.
How are you, gorgeous?
I'm good.
Good to see you on the panel. Actually, you've been on our show before.
I have.
I wasn't here on that specific day, unfortunately.
No, I tried to take your job, and here I am. It begins.
Look out, it so begins. We've got a great lineup this evening, so we'll be talking a little bit about Layla's work, what she's done as an artist, an actor. She does a bit of dancing.
I do a bit of dancing, but that's
twerking,
I'm not paid
on the
for
dance
that.
Floor. we'll have a yarn with her very soon. But also, we've got a special guest. His name is Wani, and we'll be in reference to the Green Room Awards, which is amazing. Mm. We went to that last night, so. Yeah, exciting times. Some really amazing accolades happened, and so many mob representing, which is a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, deadly.
Including our very own Davey.
Yes, and Davey Thompson. So
yeah,
he'll be having a chat with us too this evening from 8:30 onwards. So stay tuned for that. He'll give us a bit more insight into the awards, and he'll be on a high right now. So yeah, very happy for you guys. And if you tuned in already, then yeah, let the mob know, because we're about to talk about the Green Room Award. This song we're about to play now is beautiful. I actually heard it just the other day, and I thought we've got to play this. So check it out. It's Sev Delisle with Human Nature.
Water. selfish. Let me repeat it, because the word selfishness has been condemned so much that it is every possibility to misunderstand. But the word is really beautiful. To be selfish simply means to be yourself.
Hey, this is Joe Williams, former NRL player, professional boxer, and you're listening to Joy 94.9, Stay Deadly with Urban Dreaming.
What a hauntingly beautiful song. Have you heard that before?
No, I haven't.
I just heard it just literally today, actually. I was thinking the other day. It was actually today at my mate's place, Chaz. So, hello, Chaz. I know you tuned in. and a beautiful song. Thanks for introducing me to such an amazing artist. So that was Sevdaliza is how you pronounce it, hopefully. She's an Iranian Dutch singer, songwriter, and record producer. And in 2015, she released two EPs, The Suspended Kid and Children of Silk. And while her music is typically in English, she released her first Persian language song, Bebin, in early 2017. And that song there, which was, Human Nature. So I just wanted to acknowledge, of course, where we are today on Kulin Nation, the lands in which we stand. And it's just so good to see Indigenous artists who are basically just representing and doing such amazing work in the communities. Mm. I've got two really outstanding performers in the room right now with us. I have to introduce Layla to begin with, because Layla's been on the show before, we mentioned. And Layla Thacker, is that how you pronounce your surname?
Yeah, Thacker, like blacker.
Yeah, the blacker Thacker. So Layla's actually from mainland TSI, Torres Strait Islanders. She's a Miriam Murr woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's based in Naam, which is Melbourne. So that's the actual Aboriginal word for this country, guys. It's mm-hmm. Naam. And there's been a thing questioned whether it's pronounced Naam with the R sound or the R is rolled, the R, so like a Narm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Since graduating from JCU, mm-hmm. where was that?
James Cook University.
Okay.
I know, hence why I just put JCU. It's a little embarrassing. I don't want to be saying I came out of James Cook, but, you know.
So, yeah, that's in Cairns. And so since then, she was doing the Actors Workshop in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
She's been cast in various roles from Shakespeare to Sarah Kane, most notably the boutique theatre's Fairy Tale Lives of Russian Girls, which
Hell
was amazing.
Yeah.
Got to see
which
that.
Which Grace actually was the stage manager for.
I was.
Ah,
yeah.
Well, there
you go.
Yeah, so.
I loved that show. It was actually great.
Yeah, it was definitely.
You've done a few things. You've been to LA. You've been the best emerging artist, Indigenous artist for the Melbourne Fringe Awards.
Yeah,
that's
last
incredible.
Year.
And currently writing, directing, and producing
mm-hmm.
under her belt there for what they call Black Shell. And Black Shell is basically Layla's approach. And her she continues to advocate for First Nations and women of colour in the arts.
Always. Beautiful. Yeah, no, I started Black Shell last year. It's actually a script reading group for Indigenous women and women of colour. I've been part of a lot of script reading groups myself, predominantly white though, and I've been the only black face, black voice within that group. Essentially I started it just for my own space so I can actually de-robe and take the white cape off, you know?
Yeah,
especially when it comes to those discussions about scripts, you know? I don't have to censor myself then and feel culturally safe. I can delve into a lot of the plays and scripts on a cultural level.
Yeah, I remember having this conversation with you earlier too about how sometimes because of that typecast when it comes to specific roles, we are really just, you know, either put in this section where we're categorised as tick the box and we're representing, or we just don't have the particular look that they're looking for.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I go for, my agent puts me up for a lot of, they're seeking one Indigenous female, I rock up and the casting director looks me up and down and is like, not quite what we're looking for, regardless of whether or not I have the ability to actually do the role, which of course I do. But, you know, they don't want to make money, clearly, from me. I remember going, this was a few years ago here in Naam. It was like one of my first auditions here, and it was like three rounds of auditions, and I got to the third round of it, and the director called me, a couple of days later and said, you know what, you did an amazing job. You would have gotten the role, though, if you were white. And I thought to myself, three rounds of auditions? Like, if that was that interesting, why did you, you know? So anyway,
yeah.
All, you know, yeah, awkward. All kind things. So yeah. That's essentially why I created Black Shell as well. And the stuff that's come out of that, it's not just script reading groups. We've done 2 short films now. We've done stuff for Indigenous artist markets and things like that. So it's kind of just that getting that momentum and doing your own stuff, really. So, yeah.
And people got to understand that we are not one look, we're many. We're such a diverse range of people and eclectic looks and so many different skin colours, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I know some people I know who are actually very fair skin with blue eyes and blonde hair who are actually Aboriginal from, say, for example, Tasmania.
Mm.
And they feel excluded because they're not seen as just as an Aboriginal person. And
of course.
Some of the conversations they'll have in a group and people like might say, oh, you know, something derogative, and then they don't realise that person is actually, you're talking to one right in front of you, you know.
Yeah.
So it can be really scary.
It's frustrating,
you know?
Definitely. Yeah. You know, the media, we can't let the media define what our identity is, you know, and they love to do that. So it's 2018, Aboriginal identity has changed significantly, and it's been like that for a while. So, yeah, we have to be the masters of our own stories now, you know, and we'll do it from grassroots. We don't care. We don't need that much money. Just give us the authority to tell our stories.
Definitely. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, Layla, and being a co-host this evening.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can have you on our future programs.
Well, yeah, I've got a key now.
She got the fob now.
I changed the locks now.
And speaking of amazing artists, we also have a fellow here. His name is Wani. And now Wani actually won the Green Room Award last night, and he did such a beautiful speech, and it was so nice. Before we begin, though, I want to just tell you a little bit about Wani. Wani is actually a Congolese born, New Zealand raised, and Melbourne-based poet with the flair of spoken word. He uses his artistic abilities to serve as a platform in his commitment to the flourishing of life, telling of the untold, as well as the collective empowerment of those peoples too often marginalised and not enough celebrated. So from hosting the Pan-African Poets Cafe to headlining, creating and curating platforms for sold-out events like... Mm. Can you pronounce this one for me?
Encre Noir.
Encre Noir. That's a French term, yeah. Producing Sapology, which I know Layla's going to be working on as an MC.
Correct.
Which is great.
I don't know what I'll be saying, but no, I'll just wing it. No, kidding.
You just improvise like you do anyway. At the Wyndham Cultural Centre, and more recently producing and directing his first solo show at the Arts House, and Wani is slowly emerging. I wouldn't say slowly. I think he's emerged.
He's emerged.
He's appeared. He's here.
He's surpassed.
A very, very promising new artist. And, you won the Green Room Award for Woo-hoo. Best New Talent. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wow.
Cheers,
guys. Yeah. How special. What a fantastic evening it was at that. And I loved it when you said I just want to acknowledge my mother who's here. She was my date this evening. Can you, obviously you can't remember everything you said, but it was very touching. It was quite beautiful. And the idea of you speaking not just on your behalf and receiving an accolade, but you were actually accolading where your roots were from and who you are. And for your mother to see you in that position and to be able to have you know, to be able to be listened to as a black man winning such a prestigious award.
Mm.
How did you feel?
I think I felt like a deep sense of gratitude, not necessarily just because of the award itself, but everything I feel like it meant for that moment to exist. And I feel like I'm just a vessel for all these stories I carry that have been passed down from my ancestors, my family, people around me, people that carry me, and all I do is deliver what's in me and through me, I guess. So I always feel like every time that's recognized, it's not me who's recognized, but everyone who's gone before me, who's created those platforms for me to be able to stand on, everybody else who maybe might have got rejected to push it a little bit more so that the next person can go on. It's just in recognition of all the work that's gone and all the people that have fought for spaces and all the people who have fought for people like us and people like me to be able to stand there. So I think it was like in recognition of that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was my first ever Green Room Awards. So I've actually never been to an awards night. So that's pretty crazy, eh? And just going to that event and just seeing all these amazing artists, you know, in between, it was up to 66 awards that were given out in the evening. So it was quite a long night, but there were a lot of proxies too. And the idea of just being able to have only, you know, just that one, I guess, because how many people were nominated per nomination? There's usually up to six. I'm pretty sure there's like six nominations.
It varied. Varied from like four to eight in some cases.
So, and with your work, you know, because I'm really still not familiar with your work, but I'd love to hear one of your poems now, if that's possible.
My piece.
That'd
sure.
be great.
Just putting you on the spot there.
Yeah, yeah.
No pressure.
But it's interesting, back on the Green Room Awards, like, you know, Wani and I were talking about this before. You know, there were 66 awards given out. Is that right?
Mm.
66. And only seven of them were awarded to people of colour. Just seven, you know. So obviously, I suppose for you, what you were talking about, Wani, is that when you won that award, it holds weight.
Yeah.
For all of us, you know, and we feel that. And that's why I go usually every year. I'm not necessarily nominated, but I got to be there screaming around as soon as any black person wins, you know. Yeah, because it as you were saying, you know, it's like everybody's journey that was before us to get us in that room, to get us on that stage in the first place.
Exactly.
So we need to expand that number. It's not enough.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not even from a lack of talent.
No.
Because we've got talent that just need to acknowledge that, you know? Even, like, getting up on that stage, you could feel the weight, and it was like, whoa. This is, like, I've never been to the Green Room Awards, but I'm like, I guarantee you, there has not been many before me that have walked those stairs. Yeah. And I was like, that was intense. And to think of all of that and all the people who were deserving of that, because I don't necessarily think it's because I'm the most deserving. I think maybe I'm just the one that got picked now, you know? And I'm like, wouldn't it be cool when we get to that day when the most deserving of the, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you are most deserving, like, in the end, no matter what. It's like, we are the minority. That's what it boils down to in regards to...
We're the marginalised, 100%.
Yeah, and especially in the arts, because we've been cut back so much, you know? Mm. And so we've got to think about, getting our voices out there more. And there is, like you said, there's potential, there's talent, there's amazing talent at that. Mm. It's just there's not many avenues or platforms for the younger mob to get up there, to get in... to get their feet in the door, you know?
That's right.
So this is what it's up to us as their elders to start, you know, helping.
Definitely.
Yeah, to support that.
Definitely. So.
And hopefully this is like a door that's open and it's going to stay open so more can get through.
definitely. And someone like yourself is now just throwing, I guess, that pebble in the water and the ripple effect starting to take its, you know, effect.
Yeah.
So, show us what you got.
All right, cool. On all the things I'm still learning to name. One, my name is Wani, and on a good day, that's usually enough. Two, I watch full seasons, so entire show is all in one day, and I'm not ashamed. Three, my favorite anime is One Piece. There's something about Luffy's constant tenacity that just gets me. Four, I have a feeling that even 20 years from now, when we finally reach the end of the Grand Line, we probably still won't ever get to know why his dad left him. Five, I enjoy really long walks at a donut store. Six, I am not above pity. I would literally troll white supremacist pages just to like the comments from the black people roasting the hell out of them. Seven, that Drake and Meek Mill beef, man, that shit was a highlight for me. Eight, I watched the truck slam into a woman once, and nobody said anything. I learned that day that I already internalized so much misogyny had consumed me. I stood and watched as she attempted to drag herself back onto her feet. She was the first black woman I'd ever seen outside of my own family. And I walked away. Nine. I keep my mother's words etched on the inside of my left chest pocket. For they are the only metaphysical force I've ever known tangible enough to trust. Ten. I've had far too many people that say they want to get to know me like the inside of these hands, only to spend their time searching for reflections of themselves within my body. Ten. Despite my best efforts, I am still learning to love that body. 10. Who mourns for little boys who never learn to say stop? 10. Who mourns those little boys that turn to men that won't stop? 10. How do I forgive myself for all the times and all the things that I tried but couldn't stop? 10. Even on my best days, I am still only a shadow living inside a guilty conscience, stuck between a rock and survivor's guilt. 11. I stared down the end of a barrel once, and of all the reasons I could name as to why I'm even still standing here, none are because of me. 12. I still can't really tell you why that last one was true, but what I do know is I put two bullets in, just in case that first one never got through to you. 1. There is nothing magic about being surrounded by people who still make you feel lonely. 2. Depression is a strange word, so I prefer work in progress. 3. I am still a work in progress, and I'm finally okay with that. 4. My name is Wani, and on my best days, that's enough.
Wow. I love that one.
It's quite emotional.
Yeah, you're an urban dreaming, guys. Stay tuned. We've got a bit more conversation coming up with Davey Thompson on the phone with us. And I think Gracie's got another song for us.
I do. We've got... Oh, well, maybe I'll let Layla introduce this one because it's the one that you chose from your friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. So this song is called Australia Does Not Exist by The Dreaming Now. Neil Morris is a Yorta Yorta man. Also featuring Adrian Eagle, Philly, Brent... Watkins, and I truly hope that's... Oh, and me sometimes. Hyping in the crowd.
It's a great video clip too.
To the bay, stepped upon sacred sands, didn't recognize there was governance at hand. Laws and conditions not based upon demands. Tribes, clans, and families in line with sacred chants. Song lines, stories, blessing woman, child, and man. Stars, constellations, formulating plans. Bountiful plains of medicinal plants. Spouse beyond the physical, beating our dance. None of this dreaming, unfolded by chance. But they didn't see this majesty right before their eyes. Labeled us as savages and plotted out the Mars. Took our star formations to represent their plot. Not realizing natural essence brought in through those knots. Busy painting laws to sidestep our rights. Deny our very ways to be brought out of sight, out of mind. Spotted laws, this landscape never defined in the previous 60,000 plus years of time. That said, Australia's still a scene of crime when they push aside the manners and us blinded in the blind.
Australia does not exist.
What they be selling is men.
Australia does not exist.
But they keep on trying to tell them.
Australia does not exist.
Yo, it's straight up illegitimate.
Australia does not exist.
Yeah, it's all lies, all of it.
First we'll take that land, take it for our own. Those who take a stand will kneel before the throne, kneel before the crown, hands on the ground, and we'll take all the kids. Hush, don't make a sound, nothing but savages. We'll show them how they're supposed to live, and if they don't assimilate, I guess we'll have to demonstrate our superiority in every single way, and remind them how we've conquered them every single day. And what better way to do this than to give this land a name? Australia, yeah, the great land that was claimed. Man, it ain't gonna work. Watch us grow like flowers if we come from the dirt. The hurt runs deep. Our peep came just to reframe the pictures of the past so my people know where we came from. We've been here all along. See, Australia don't exist, just another damn myth.
Australia does not exist.
What they be selling is myth.
Australia does not exist.
But they keep on trying to tell.
Australia does not exist.
Yeah, it's all lies, all of it.
Still remains black, spirit still remains.
what they try to make it seem. Australia does not exist. Just a straight painting pictures to try painting you picture to evade the true identity of this land. It is built on legislations and false formations without true jurisdiction propagated through mass manipulation of populations and resources. Genocidal policy enforces. Mourning blood of our ancestors, massacres. But still sacred spirit here. Breathe in the air, true essence delivered from our mother's womb and hands. This always was, and always will be a land of countless indigenous nations, none of which are called Australia.
Hey, you mob, this is Davey, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy. Deadly.
Yes, old Davey Thompson. We'll be chatting with him very soon. So that song there, that was Australia Does Not Exist, and that was with Philly, your partner in crime.
Not even.
Yes, Neil Morris.
Yeah.
Yes, Brent Watkins.
Yep.
Adrian Layla Eagle was in there, and Wani was in that too.
Yeah, we made a little feature in the film clip.
So good. And where, because I looked at the film clip and there's a beautiful waterfall, where was that?
That was all done at Hanging Rock, I believe, yeah. But we did all the studio stuff as well, so it was filmed over a couple of days. But obviously, you know, Neil wanted to get more of the land, I suppose, in that clip. But the thing I love about that song, I mean, Australia Does Not Exist, it's, you know, it's right there, what he's trying to actually portray or say or make that statement. But, you know, that I love that last line. You know, this land is made up of many indigenous nations, none of which are called Australia, which is true.
Well, they're all language groups of all different
100%,
names.
100%, you know.
Different protocols.
That's right. Nam was Nam well before Melbourne and things like that. So it is just getting people to think about, yeah, what land are you on and what you know, the actual name of this land is that you now call home. So, and plus it's a dope track.
It's
you know,
a great track. I was just sitting here rocking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you can play it over and over again and not feel like, this is too political, you know.
But, do you often get that question when people ask, so what's the name of the whole of Australia? Wasn't there an Aboriginal name for it? And it's like, I don't think there was.
No, there wasn't.
Because it was all individual language groups.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, that in itself is a colonised concept, to call a whole big chunk of land one name.
So, why are you, did you dance in it or did you...
Well, I can't remember. Firstly, I can't dance.
I was in it. You did a bit of spoken word, though, didn't you?
I kind of just stood there in support.
Okay.
I guess, yeah.
Stood there in solidarity.
Yeah, really stand with the message and I vibe with the jam because it's a dope track. And the first time I got there, actually, I was shocked because I knew Neil for something else and then homie was out there rapping and I was like, not just rapping but giving bars. Yeah, you know what I mean? I was like, damn, okay, it's like that.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, very cool. And, yeah, just a lot of the traditional dancing and ditch playing as well was just nice with Brent and crossover with the contemporary influence. So, beautiful. So we were speaking about the Green Room Awards before and we actually have a nomination that became also another winner, and this is Davey Thompson. We're crossing over to Fairfield. How are you, Davey?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so happy for you guys. So you guys won the Chasing Smoke Best Circus Performance.
Yeah, Black Flip.
Yes, we did. It was absolutely fantastic. It was. You know, when we got the notification that we were even nominated, it was out of this world because we all just went into that rehearsal room just wanting to make something that represented us. And, you know, so as a producer, and it was just so fantastic to assemble that team and just watch them create something that was just so raw and beautiful. And so for that to be recognized by other people as well, that alone was really spectacular. And then to, you know, win even as well, it was just... it was so great. I'm still on a high.
Yeah, you would be. It's just so great to see. And then they actually performed after the interval. And
that was amazing.
It was so just
And I didn't realise Jack Shepherd was in it too.
Yeah.
Another baller there. Like, I saw him on stage. I'm like, what's he doing on stage? Next minute he's rolling around. Like, he's flexible, that one. Didn't even know.
But, Davey, let us know more about the other winners as well, because it was you. There was also the Urine Boy Festival, of course.
Yes, it was just a night of black excellence. You know, there was Wani who won. Congratulations, my brother.
Thanks, Davey.
To see you accept that award. So there was also Black Flip, and there was Nathan Maynard won the season.
They won the best director, the best writing, and the best production. How cool
is
that?
It was a full-on blackout.
It was a blackout.
It was, and that's it, to have, you know, Caroline Martin in attendance as well, a TO, and, you know, see Annie Rachel on stage presenting awards
that
as well.
Deadly.
It was just, yeah, it's really great just to see our mob really succeeding in these fields, you know, regardless, because, you know, we all come from so many places, and it's just really great because, you know, that representation does matter. It echoes to so many people. So, you know, it's a really proud moment. It's a really proud moment for all of us, and, yeah.
So did your mob celebrate afterwards?
Yeah.
Of course, silly question.
Yes, I snuck out just towards the end there and ran up to the dressing room and we popped champagne and had some giggles and everything. Yeah. It was fantastic. It was great just to have a moment with them all, and they all partied hard. I didn't stay too long because I'd work, you know me. But... yeah,
it was
really fantastic to have a moment with everyone. And, yeah, they have secured a season, I do believe. I'm just, you know, waiting to hear back. So as soon as I know about that, I'll be sharing that news everywhere. So, Chasing Smoke will just continue to thrive, and I'm so excited.
Continue to chase smoke.
Yeah, so those...
hopefully eventually cats. That's what I'm excited about, you know.
Yeah.
I'm excited, you know, for this show to have a bit more of a life, but then also to see what these amazing, beautiful, talented artists go on to create next. You know, they almost seemed like bubbas when I first started working with them. And, you know, it was really great to watch them grow over a few years. And now they're just, you know, to see them on stage last night, you know, I got really emotional. Aww. You know, it's like seeing an adult now.
Aw, yeah. Mother Davey. So for those who've just joined us, we just discussed in the Green Room Awards, you're in Urban Dreaming, and the Green Room Awards was actually in recognition and excellence in cabaret, dance, drama, fringe theatre, musical theatre and opera in Melbourne. And the award started back in 1982. And since then it's been continuing, and, yeah, just so great to see so much more strong representation for Aboriginal mob there. And just so proud of you guys. So proud.
Echo that. And also a big shout-out to all of the volunteers who keep the Green Room Awards going, because pretty much nobody's paid to put that together, but they all volunteer their time to go out and see all the talent that's out there and do all the right judging here and there. It's really fantastic. So, yeah, thank you for continuing this for us.
So who got to take the trophy home?
I thought I would take it home.
Rent it out.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy, eh? I got a feel of it last night. Out.
That's it, yeah. It was a bit heavy, so, you know, I'll hold on to it for now. I'll smuggle it in. I'll let Circus Oz have a moment with it, you know.
That's why he didn't party too hard. He had to put his trophy to bed.
Yeah.
Tuck it in.
Put a little pillow on there. Love it. Good night, my baby.
Read it a bedtime story. This is the next couple of weeks, doing it every night.
Yeah, yeah.
He takes it everywhere with him.
And everyone's like, Davey, where's that trophy? What trophy?
He's just buying extra luggage when he's flying.
Gave her the name.
Oh, Davey, thank you so much. We're missing you here at Urban Dreaming, but, you're only a phone call away.
Absolutely. Can't wait to come back and join you mob soon.
Deadly. Keep winning, brother.
Will do.
Take care.
Warm.
Yes, that was Davey Thompson in the Green Room Awards and, yeah, winning for the Chasing Smoke. We have an award winner, Wani, in the studio with us as well, and an award winner, Layla Thacker.
Oh, barely.
An award stagehand and performer panellist, Gracie Marshall.
Don't worry, I've not won any awards.
It'll happen, don't you worry. So, actually, we've won an award. This show has won an award.
Yeah, I have won an award.
There you go.
Yeah,
claim it up.
Yeah, that's right. Best excellence and diversity.
Oh,
so.
Look out.
This one is Samba the Great featuring Nicole Gumbe with Black Girl Magic. It's here on Urban Dreaming.
Abracadabra, here I come. Magic, a bitch, styling. Move like magic, excellence. Poof, you need reminding. Getting round, illusion, shum. Uma, where she back again. You will never end a reign. We keep multiplying. Running through the evidence. There's just no denying. Some be by deficient. It just keep on shining. Who that lady got some lip? From my mama, got the gift. We just pour some peace in it. At least we keep on trying. Hold on my youth. Hold on my youth.
was no quote. I was live in a concert, and I spread my voice. I was choked and belittled. Then I resurrected part two as the sequel. No, I'm not your voice, I just wanna be equal. Gotta stand tall, we the ones, we the people. Look me in the eyes, this the cards you've been dealt. I don't need your table, I can sit by myself. I've been black since 93. But I understand that it's not just about me. Understand that there's a spirit underneath this skin. Understand that there's a soul that lives within. Soul, glow, from dusk till dawn. From the beginning where we all come from. So somebody tell me why we can't get along. I wrote this psychosis for sisters like me. With skin as dark as the night that shines so effortlessly. I wrote this for my sister, who looks in the mirror and calls out to beauty, who can no longer see her. No one can describe who you are, but you are who you are. Who you are. Who are you? Magic. Black. Magic.
Then let's take it back again. Back to Africa. Matriarchies are fake. Black women per capita. I capitan. You remain my queen. I saw it in my mother when I saw it in a dream. Holy Spirit, how is she? You disrespect the womb. Where life all come from and it is to whom? Your praise is to who? Or your race is to who? She like it, I shop out in kudos to you.
For lover. This is Natano from Chasing Smoke, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
You're on Urban Dreaming, and that last track was Saba the Great featuring Nicole Gumbe with Black Girl Magic.
Yeah, it's good to have Layla on the panel with us as a co-host, and our brother Wani. And Wani was an award winner last night for Best New Talent in the Green Room Awards, and Wani's about to share another poem with us.
I'm at a stage of my life where I'm really starting to enjoy the oldies. I'm becoming far less consumed by lonely, feeling more scarred than I do open wound, and I think they call that happiness. I've broken off from what I once knew, cashed in my dreams for a chance at this mic, just to watch her seduce my girl right into another man's arms. Traded in my basketball shoes for a pen and some paper, hoping to bleed enough truth to drown out some insecurities. Right here. In this place where I've written letters to strangers who know more about me than I care to admit. Watch smiles turn to rage from spitting pages of a life I can only ever share in a glimpse. Felt words leave my lips just to come back begging for a shot at redemption. Laid out my sins knowing full well that this pen might be the closest chance I'll ever get at forgiveness. For this truth, surrounded by these bright lights where my voice breaks only to be drowned out by yours, and Lord knows I've paid my due. Like that night my cousin died, I poured my soul out on this mic just to show you what kind of strength it took to share what that felt like. Even when I couldn't explain the kind of feeling I got, and flows didn't come in waves, but in awkward silences and applause, I still gave you my heart. And right now it feels like holy matrimony between melanin and the galaxies, like Luther Vandross breaking down on the dance floor, like making sweet music by candlelight to the sounds of the ocean as each moment feels different. And some days are better than others. And each morning I'm reminded that we still have work to do. We still have mountains to rise and valleys to believe in. So today, I'm going to pull open the curtains, smile at the rain, put on some Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, then watch a whole bunch of anime. Because today is a good day.
Wow, lovely.
Beautiful. And what's even more beautiful is like how you can, the whole thing about us, you know, being in a point of segregation and not being sometimes feeling like connected, even though we have connection to spirit, but also the loss of in regards to the human condition. Mm. I think it's really interesting, your take on how you see the world. It's beautiful, so, you know, I guess that's why we call it poetry, yeah? Mm. But yeah, and also your voice. You've got such a soothing voice. It's quite
hypnotizing.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's great. It's great. You should make some, I don't know if you have already or not, but have you made some CDs or discs as of yet?
VO work?
I have voiceovers, yeah.
I'll get on.
There's even good for money
like,
in that.
Even for like new mothers with babies, just by a,
yeah, that's
you
right,
know, just whining to stay in bedtime stories. Although that baby might be like, this is lit, yo.
No. No, it's great. And, you know, and that's the thing about our work, isn't it, as an artist. You know, you don't just do it for the sake of accolades, you know, in the end. I know that's generally the most humble artists are the ones who continue their work and empower society. Mm. And it's amazing the power in spoken word. I've just only recently got into it in the last year. Yeah. And I'm just, every time I hear spoken word, I'm just in admiration of those who actually practice it every day.
Yeah, powerful, powerful craft tool. Mm. Yeah.
What got you into it in the first place? Was it something you gradually grew into or was it just recently?
I got into it about, I guess, maybe three, four years ago. I used to play basketball. I used to play for, like, New Zealand. And then I used to write, I thought they were diary entries, but, like, I used to struggle to speak. I had a really bad stammer growing up, and I was mute for a couple of years when I was younger. So words were always precious, and when I got words, I was taught not to waste them. Mm. So before I'd say something, I'd really think through what I'm trying to say, because you didn't often have long to say things, and then I guess maybe that's what kind of started that pattern of trying to process my feelings, trying to process what I'm going through, and then writing it out. And I shared it with some friends, and they called it spoken word, and they showed me some clips, and they were like, this is spoken word. And that's kind of how that started.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love how that's kind of, yeah, you haven't contrived that at all. It's just naturally, yeah, happened for you organically.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah, so true that the words are precious, and I think that we forget that and that they can have so much power, but also have a lot of power over ourselves. And just to voice, I guess, what we're going through can also just help and be quite cathartic in a way as well.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, the idea of freedom of speech as well, like from particularly the country where you're from, is it what's it like there in regards to be able to speak politically about these certain topics?
The country where I'm from, I think right now my country is so forgotten that I feel like it's one of the most silent spaces that we exist on. I was born at the beginning of the 90s, and by the time I was 7, we'd already gone through a genocide. By the time I was 9, we'd lost over 6 million people. And the last time that mass of people was lost on Earth was during World War II, and it was the Jews. And they said that would never happen again, right? But, like, my people could disappear. And because they look a certain pigment, nobody knows. And then there's been a continual genocide. And we're often, I don't know, brutalized for the minerals that are in my country. And one of them is uranium, and the only other place you can get uranium near as precious as that is in Australia.
In the Northern Territory.
Yeah, and the uranium they got from my country is actually what led to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Most people don't know. So the first atomic bomb explosion was dug up in Congo, you know. The coltan that comes and makes the phones we use, the phone battery, is from my country. The diamonds is from Congo. And it's like, it's so, we call it in my language, it's almost like the disaster of minerals. There's so much that has become a burden to the people that have to exist there. There's almost a joke that if like gold or copper is found in a space, you know there's about to be a war, because somebody or some people from outside are going to come in and be like, you know, there's something going on, kill everybody just so they can get that. It's almost a curse. And to the rest of the world, it's everything they fight for. So I've always often felt like that silencing has plagued on me, to have to make sure I use the space I'm given properly and to say stuff that matters, because you never know how long you have. And watching my people in my country being shut down my whole life, you know, it hurts. Like just this morning, a cousin of mine died, and he got killed quite badly. And, you know, last night, I'm standing on a stage winning an award for, you know, I'm getting congratulated for being able to tell my story, while my cousin's getting turned into a statistic. You know, he had a name, but that's just like how life is. And that sucks. So I don't know, I often feel like I live between two bodies getting torn apart often, because it's like I could be here. I'm a black settler here on another colonized land, you know, bringing my own story. What does that mean? I have to be wary of like where I stand, but then I've got this whole other thing and a whole bunch of responsibilities weighing on my shoulders. How do you navigate all that?
In regards to the cultural obligations as well. My condolences to your brother, and
thank you.
You know, we don't realize how lucky we are in a sense too, but also we know of the atrocities. Our people know this only too well, and there is a genocide still going on in a great degree. It's just internal now. But this is information for our listeners to understand, you know, because the more we talk about this stuff, it's about us also educating and helping society to understand the ways of our culture.
That's right.
It's very important, because we've listened for so long to the Western ways, and I think it's time we give our Indigenous peoples a voice.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're about to finish very soon, guys. It's just been a beautiful hour with you guys, I must say. We have one more song, I think, before we head off.
We do. It's actually quite fitting. It's called Be Kind to Yourself.
Before we do, though, I actually want to just make mention too, if you're an actor, a budding actor, or you want to just like get into acting, you've never done acting in your life, or you just want to do film and television, currently we've got Briggsy. He's actually looking for someone to play him in an up and coming documentary. So if you've reckon you've got what it takes to become the next big thing, to play young Briggs, well, here's the chance. Yes, Briggs has put an open casting to call on all his socials for a new comedy documentary, and they're looking for someone to play him on the screen for the version of AB Aboriginal MC. They're looking for an 8 to 12 year old Indigenous boy with a solid to large build from Victoria to audition for the part. Yes, no acting experience is necessary, just a willingness to give it a go. And you can basically just Google that information as well. Mm-hmm. And also we've got this event, which is the Black Queer We're Here. And this is actually produced by Davey Thompson and Danny Siposato, one of my cousins. And that's this Friday at 7 p.m. till 11 p.m. Check it out at the Testing Grounds on 123, that's 1-23 City Road, South Bank, from 7 to 11 p.m. on Friday. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm saying goodbye. Thank you so much for tuning in to Urban Dreaming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Layla, for your time, and thank you, Wani, for coming.
Thanks for sharing.
Hanging out.
Beautiful. And thank you, Grace.
Thank you. This is Willow Beats with Be Kind to Yourself. You're on Urban Dreaming.
Yabba.
Inside, ruby. Service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.